Bring the Senate Rules Committee to order. Today is May 13th and the time is 9:02. And with us today is Senator Kelly, Senator Machicki, Senator McKinnon, Senator Gardner, and myself, Senator Meyer. Today the Rules Committee is also joined by Ann Krekelberg. Is that correct? All right. Must be the 13th. And the Senate Records Office, Ann Krekelberg is with the Senate's Records Office, and Kyle Schramm, who is helping us with the teleconferencing. Thank you both for spending your Saturday morning with us. Today's agenda is just one item, and it is House Bill 16, Driver's License Requirement, Disability, ID, and Training. So at this time, I'll accept a motion to adopt the Senate Rules Committee substitute. Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the Senate Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 16, version 30LS0194/O, Martin, dated 5/12/2017, as the working document before the committee.
Okay. Is there, we'll object just so we can hear the changes. So at this time, I'd like to bring Suzanne Cunningham, my chief of staff, to explain the changes, and just to let committee members know too, we do have several experts in the room and maybe online that can help us if we do have questions. So with that, Ms. Cunningham, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Rules Committee. For the record, Suzanne Cunningham, staff to Senator Meyer and the Senate Rules Committee. Before you is the Senate Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 16. It has grown a little in size, but I should be able to walk you through the CS and the sections that have been added to the bill. Section 1 provides intent language that the state of Alaska should continue efforts to amend the Real ID Act to protect the privacy of Alaskans. Section 2 amends 1865-220 to include statutory language that expands the duties of the Police Standards Council to include training in recognizing and interacting with persons with disabilities, as well as familiarization with resources that are available to those with hidden disabilities. This was an original section in House Bill 116. Section 3 amends 1865-310A to set the fee for a Real ID compliant identification card at $20. Section 4 amends 1865-310B to require an application for an identification card to include a provision that the applicant understands the options between the identification card types that are offered by the DMV and what type of card is being selected by the applicant. Section 5 adds new subsections to 1865-310. It provides that a person may voluntarily designate on their state identification card that the person has a disability and what proof the individual needs to provide to the DMV to receive the designation on their ID card. This is an original provision of House Bill 16. Subsection N requires the department to adopt regulations to issue federally compliant identification cards and requires an applicant for an identification card to specifically choose whether they are selecting the federally compliant or non-compliant ID card. It limits the documents that can be copied and scanned and retained by the Division of Motor Vehicles to what is required by the Real ID and codifies the retention period of 15 years, which matches the current practice of the DMV established in regulation. It requires the state to continue to offer non-compliant identification cards and requires an applicant to specifically choose a federally compliant ID card. The CS specifically prohibits the state or municipality from requiring a person to obtain a federally compliant ID card, but it does allow for an exception when the state or the municipality is acting in the role as an employer and the job duties require use of a compliant identification card. For non-compliant identification cards, it limits the retention of facial images to 15 years. It prohibits the retention if an ID card is not issued to an applicant. And it limits the retention of verification documents to a year after the expiration date of the card. Subsection P allows the department to issue an identification card with a validity of less than 8 years if it matches the amount of time that a person is legally authorized to be in the country. It also allows the department more discretion with the expiration date for a card when the authorized stay of an individual is indeterminate. It provides an ID card can be valid up to 8 years. It provides when an identification card can be renewed and guidelines for renewal via mail or via the Division of Motor Vehicles website. It requires the department to provide the public with information about the differences between the current cards, which are non-compliant ID cards, and the new federally compliant cards. The information should include what the compliant identification card is required for and what alternatives are available. And the last subsection that's new is in that section provides a definition of ID card that is federally compliant. Section 6 amends AS 1865670 sub C to include disability training to village public safety officers. This is an original provision of HB 16. Section 7 amends AS 2805011 by providing a new subsection that provides that if the department provides a manual related to safe and lawful operation of motor vehicles, that the manual must include the rights and responsibilities of drivers when encountering or being stopped by an officer. This is also an original provision of HB 16. Section 8 adds new subsections to AS 2805068. It provides that if data is shared with other entities to comply with the Real ID Act, it limits that data to what is required. Subsections B through E adds language relating to the sending of social security numbers to other entities for verification that a person who is applying for a driver's license is not already licensed in another state. The language requires the department to take all steps necessary to eliminate the use of using social security numbers as verification or otherwise minimize the number of digits of a social security number required to be stored and shared. The last new subsection F requires an annual report to the legislatures on the efforts made by the Division of Motor Vehicles Department of Administration that are made in B through E of this section. And this reporting requirement is repealed in 2021 by Section 18 of the bill. Section 9 adds new subsections to 2815041 relating to the issuance of driver's licenses. And these provisions mirror what is provided for in the identification card section of the legislation, which is Section 5. Requires the department to adopt regulations to issue federally compliant driver's licenses. It limits the documents that can be copy scanned and retained to a minimum of 15 years and only to that which is required by the federal Real ID. Requires the state to continue to offer non-compliant driver's licenses. It requires an applicant to specifically choose a federally compliant license when applying for a driver's license. And again, the same prohibition exists under the driver's license section that prohibits the state or a municipality from requiring a person to get a federally compliant license, except for when the state or municipality is acting as an employer and it's necessary for the job duties. For a non-compliant license, it limits retention of facial images to 15 years and prohibits retention of the images if the license is not issued, and limits retention of verification documents to a year after the expiration date of the license. And the final new subsection there, subsection F, requires the department to provide the public with information about the differences between the current driver's license offered by the DMV and the federally compliant licenses, including what the federally compliant driver's license is required for and what alternatives are available as documentation to individuals. Section 10 adds a new subsection to 2815061B that mirrors language for identification cards in Section 4. It requires that an application for a driver's license includes a provision that the applicant understands the options between the driver's license choices that are offered to them. Section 11 amends AS 2815101 to extend the validity of a driver's license to 8 years. And this is a change for both the license and for the identification card, if I didn't mention it earlier, from 5 years to 8 years. Section 12 amends 2815101 sub D. And these are similar to the provisions in Section 5 that pertain to the identification card. Subsection O of this bill, to allow the department to issue a license with a validity of less than 8 years if it matches the amount of time that a person is legally authorized to be in the country, and it also repeals language allowing a person to renew their license for free if the license was valid for less than the maximum. Allows the department some discretion with the expiration date of a license when the authorized date of an individual is indeterminate. It allows them to issue a license to be valid for up to 8 years. Section 13 amends AS 2815-111A to update the security requirements of cards to the highest security standards available. Section 14 provides amendments to AS 2815-111 by adding two new subsections. These are original changes that were contained in House Bill 16. Subsection D provides that a person may voluntarily select a disability designation for their driver's license. This subsection also establishes the proof that is required for the designation and fees that may be charged by the division. Subsection E actually pertains to the Real ID components that were added to this bill. Provides that the department may not engage in the bulk sharing of facial images captured during the application process, other than for commercial driver's licenses with entities outside the state, and it requires a commercial driver's license to be federally compliant. Section 15 amends 2815-271B to charge a $20 fee for a driver's license that is federally compliant. Section 16 adds a new subsection to AS 2890990A to define a driver's license that is federally compliant. Section 17 repeals AS 4499-040A2, which is the statute that prohibits the use of state assets to implement the Real ID Act. Section 18 repeals the reporting requirement that was added by Section 5 of this bill. Section 19 is transitional language to allow the Department of Administration to promulgate regulations to implement the Act. Section 20 is an immediate effective date for Section 17, which is the repealer section, and Section 19, the authority for the regulations. And finally, Mr. Chairman, Section 21 provides an effective date of January 1st, 2019 for the remainder of the sections of the bill.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ms. Cunningham. We'll let you take a little drink of water there, and before we take any questions, just to let the committee know, Marla Thompson with DMV is online. And Michael Stanger with the Department of Law is here, and we also have others here, or not here, but we have others available and here for questions. So if you haven't figured out by now, what we've done is merged the Real ID Senate Bill 34 with House Bill 16. Both of them are similar. Actually, I'm going to withdraw my objection. Or is there any other objection to?
I'll object just for discussion, and I have some questions.
Okay. All right. So we'll leave the objection on the table so we can continue to discuss this. We won't be taking public testimony on this bill. Both bills have been fully vetted. As you know, Senate Bill 34 is under a pretty tight deadline for passage. It's a priority of the governor's. And so that's why we've merged these two bills together, similar in title. And as I said, I know Finance met quite extensively on the Real ID Senate Bill 34, and House Bill 16 has also been fully vetted for some time. So with that, we'll take questions. Senator Gardner?
Thank you very much. And I guess this question maybe is for the DMV. I don't know whoever's best to answer it. But one of the concerns Alaskans have about the whole Real ID Act is about sharing of data. And if a person chooses to get a non-compliant state ID card, is their identifying data shared with any entity outside of the state of Alaska under this bill? And that refers specifically, I guess, Section 5, and also page 8, line 25, the storage and sharing process for an applicant's information for a driver's license that's federally compliant. So if you choose to have a non-Real ID license just to drive in the state of Alaska, is any of your data shared with a national database?
Senator Gardner, through the chair, I'm going to answer no. And then I'm going to call on a lifeline just to make sure that I'm not misleading the committee.
But well, we do have Marla Thompson. We have Leslie Riddle here who wants to Rydell, sorry. Right. Who wants to take this? Marla? Are you online, Marla?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. We'll turn you up a little bit louder. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. For the record, this is Marla Thompson. I'm the director of the DMV. To get a driver's license, there still is a requirement that we check to make sure that there's only one driver's license. So that just because it's a non-compliant license does not change the fact that we're mandated to only have one driver's license. So we check. We don't share information unless there's a match, but we don't share information in bulk or anything like that. Does that make sense?
Thank you. And just to be sure I understand, so if I get a non-real ID compliant driver's license, is information about me available outside of the state to other states?
Through the chair, no. But what would happen is if you had a non-compliant driver's license and you went to another state and tried to get a driver's license, they would ping us at that point and say, hey, this person is getting a driver's license there. You need to decide what you're going to do with the driver's license. So we would cancel that driver's license.
Thank you.
So it's that.
Thank you. And I have one other question, and it's not specifically related to this bill, but it's something I noticed in reading it. Section 3 talks about getting a state ID card, and this is current regulation or current statute. The first part, upon payment of a $15 fee, the department shall issue a card identical to the motor vehicle operator's license, except the card shall be of a different color and shall state in bold type letters. So this year I needed to replace my driver's license, and while I was at it, I got a identification card, and they are identical in color and don't say in bold type letters across the face that it's for identification only. And I'm just sort of curious about that.
I'm going to have to look at that. I'm going to need to use a lifeline on that one to text somebody about that and get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Okay, very well. We also picked up a Captain Dan Loudon with the Alaska State Troopers as well for questions. Additional questions, Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not answering the last question, but I had similar questions, and the department put out a wonderful document that they gave us in Senate Finance that so part of your question is, under this law, does that change? And that does not for a regular license. I learned that from the document that the department put out, and I don't know if we have that available to us, but it should be made available to Rules Committee members as well. It was very helpful. It clarifies the way things are today, what and the things that don't change with a regular, with a compliant license, and then what is shared. And I found it to be very helpful.
Thank you. I have one other quick question. Section 18 has a repeal of the reporting requirements on efforts to, correct some of the requirements of Real ID. And I assume that the reason we're repealing the mandate for a report is because by that time we anticipate we've either thrown in the towel or had some success.
Does someone want to take that one on? Go ahead, Ms. Riddle. Ms. Riddle.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Leslie Riddle. I'm the Department of Administration Deputy Commissioner. I think that you might have had it right, that when the committee added that in, they didn't talk a lot about it, but they wanted us to report back on our efforts, and I guess they just had a deadline that they didn't think we should do it forever and see how whether or not Congress had changed the law by that time or what success that we had had by 2021 in changing the requirements.
That's all I have.
Why don't you go ahead and stay there, if you don't mind. Thank you. Additional questions? Okay, seeing no questions, then, Ms. Cunningham, did you want to walk through the fiscal notes?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There are five fiscal notes before the Senate Rules Committee for consideration. The first one is a fiscal note for House Bill 16. It's fiscal note number 3, Department of Public Safety, Alaska Police Standards Council. It's a zero fiscal note. The next one is fiscal note number 4 of the Department of Corrections Population Management Correctional Academy, and it is a zero fiscal note as well. The next one is a new fiscal note generated to accompany House Bill 16. It is similar to a fiscal note that was adopted and reported out by the Senate Finance Committee for Senate Bill 34. It is for the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs, Military and Veteran Affairs, Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and it is a zero fiscal note. The next one is a new fiscal note that was reported out by the Senate Finance Committee to accompany Senate Bill 34, and it's been rewritten to accompany House Bill 16, Department of Public Safety Statewide Support Commissioner's Office, and it is a zero fiscal note. And the last one is a new fiscal note that is similar to a fiscal note that was reported out by the Senate Finance Committee to Senate Bill 34. It is the Department of Administration, Division of Motor Vehicles, and it is a fiscal note that outlines the out-year cost estimates for expenditures as well as revenues that will be generated through the issuance of Real ID cards and licenses, and it also notes an estimated FY18 capital cost. And again, this was It looks exactly like the fiscal note for Senate Bill 34 that was reported out by the committee yesterday. The only difference is that it is was rewritten to attach to House Bill 16. And I believe that Minta Montalbo, the legislative liaison for the Department of Administration, reviewed all of the content of the fiscal note before the Senate Finance Committee yesterday in the committee hearing.
Okay. And we do have the chairman of the Finance Committee, co-chairman of the Finance Committee here on our committee. So if there's any questions about that, feel free to ask. Seeing none. Okay, I'm going to remove my objection then to the adoption of this committee substitute. Is there any other questions the committee has at this particular time? I'm sorry? Yes. Did you object?
Oh, yes, and then you renewed yours, so I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Both objections are removed. How's that? All right. Thank you for keeping us on the straight and narrow here. Okay, if there's no other questions at this time, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Rules Committee report, the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 16 Rules, version 30-LS0194/O, Martin, dated 5/12/2017, be moved from committee with individual recommendations and the following fiscal notes. Previously adopted fiscal note number 3, previously adopted fiscal note number 4, new fiscal note from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, new fiscal note from the Department of Public Safety, new fiscal note from the Department of Administration.
Okay, is there objection to the bill moving out of committee? Seeing hearing none, the bill is reported from committee. And with that, we will adjourn, and I'll ask members to stay around to sign the committee report. If there's nothing else to come before the Rules Committee, we will adjourn at 9:25.